Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Please welcome the incredibly talented Mr. Will Hoag. Welcome, sir.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Good to see y'all.
Yeah.
Good seeing you too, man. It's been a while, but I gotta say we are excited with all of the rumblings. You've had three incredible singles out from the new album, and we can't wait to hear the whole thing.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm excited for folks to get to hear it.
So, Tenderhearted Boys, can you take us back to the beginning of it and when you started tossing around ideas to release this album, which, by the way, it's your 14th studio album, so congratulations.
Thank
Impressive.
You.
Impressive.
Yeah. You know, I was most of the way through a band record. And then I was talking with Alex, my manager, the middle part of last year, I guess. And we were talking about touring plans for this year, and there was a ton of solo shows. And I started thinking that it was a pretty dumb idea to put a band record out and then go do a bunch of solo shows. So, you know, there's always notebooks and little recordings and stuff laying around. And I thought, what if I did a sort of right and proper solo record? And started getting the songs together. I had two or three things that were sort of finished and sitting there, and then so I put the band record on hold and set up here where I'm talking to you guys from now, which is where I do most of the writing. And wrote the rest of the record, and then my intention was to record and engineer. I wanted to do all of it as a true solo record. And I got a little bit into that process, and Alex informed me when we would need to have the stuff all finished to get it done. And I realized that I'm not prepared to be the engineer, the producer, the writer, the guitar player, the keyboard player all at the same time. So I took a little bit of what I had in with a friend of mine named Grant Wilson over at Sound Emporium. And we just did the rest of the record in a couple of days, two or three days. And
impressive.
Yeah, man, and I'm excited for folks to get to hear it.
So, you know, I out of the three that are out right now, Good While It Lasted, I love it. It's such a great song. When writing these specific songs, were you reflecting on own personal experiences, or just they just came to you?
Your personal experiences are always going to factor in at some level. I don't think they can't. That song in particular was one of the ones that had been around for a while. I wrote that with Hayes Carl, and I had written a couple of songs together a few years back, and he had done a version of that song on his Lovers and Leavers record. And I always loved the song and thought, you know, at some point I want to try my own version. And then this just seemed like a perfect spot to try that one. So, there's definitely some personal experience in that song. Also, fortunately, not 100% personal experience, which is nice. It's good to still be married.
Yeah. And I'm glad End of the World didn't happen as well. You know?
No.
What's the biggest difference that you see, and what's been the biggest hurdle when doing a solo album as opposed to a band album?
I mean, the biggest difference is just there is no one else to rely on. There are times that you run up against a little bit of a roadblock or a wall, and you go, man, you know, what would you guys do different? And, you know, a guitar player may have a different way that they would play that song, or the bass player's got a great idea, or the drummer plays something different. You go, okay, now we're over that hurdle. You don't have the benefit of that. So that's different. And you also don't have anybody to blame. I mean, any of the bad ideas are ultimately, you know, it's yours. It's like, well, I don't like this. Like, okay, well, it's all me. But I found that really, you know, I was really inspired with this. I wanted there to be as close to the source. I mean, with the exception of putting out a record that is just, you know, my rough sketch ideas on my iPhone, you know, just in voice memos, this is about as close to, you know, the moment of creation as you can, as I can get. And I really liked that. And I, you know, it seems like folks are reacting positively to it, which is nice. It's not just hopefully an experiment, you know, the self-fulfilling thing. And I'm like, this is great. People go, this is terrible. We haven't gotten a whole lot of that yet, so that's been good.
I don't think you will.
No. I hope you're right.
Definitely not on the rock boat, I'll tell you that much.
That's for sure.
We'll hope not.
The title, Tender Hearted Boys, how did that come to be?
I had the music for this. So that's one of the songs, final song on the record. And I had written, I mean, there's a song on my Blackbird record called Baby Girl that I've written that's kind of always, I thought was a throwaway song, and it's ended up being this sort of fan favorite that has hung around for decades, which
I think that might be Mark's favorite song.
Is that right?
You know, the first boat we saw you, I had just had a little girl. So just to put it in perspective, bringing that little girl and my second girl on the boat, so they're excited to hear it.
How old are they now?
They are now 12 and 9.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, my kids are coming this year, too. My boys are 16 and 13.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so I'd written this song, Baby Girl, for a friend's daughter. And I kind of always felt like an asshole because it's like I don't even have daughters. You know, I got these two little boys that mean the world to me running around, and I'm trying to be a good dad, and I'm doing all these things, and you know, haven't even written them a song. I mean, they factor in little bits here and there, but I was like, man, kind of a dick move. And so I had the piece of music, and I had just mumbled lyrics, and I knew that I wanted it to be something about them. And that was a while in the making of just trying to get the lyric right. But then with this record, you know, I really sat with it for a day or so and worked through it. And so I just wanted that to really be it's one of my favorite things that I have learned. I have learned a tenderness and a patience through my kids. I mean, they're really these sweet, you know, I think that the world has a tendency, especially with guys, to, it sort of beats the tenderness out of you. It can, if you allow it, and you buy into the patriarchal ideas of, you know, what it means to be a man. You can't be soft. You can't cry. You have to be stoic all the time. You have to guard your feelings and all of this. And I've been guilty of it on certain levels for sure. And as I watch them grow and really be far more emotionally evolved than I was, certainly at 16 and 13, and one could argue probably at 36 and 46 too in some ways. I do want to encourage that in them. And I've had an off and on again. Yeah, it's really important to me for them to be kind to one another also. I think those brother relationships have such a tendency to fall apart and be weird. And I have had my own issues with, you know, brother relationships. And I've watched my dad and my uncle have not a great relationship all the time. And I think that's sad. And I want to try to end that in my own relationship with my brother, but I damn sure want to make sure that, you know, if I can give my kids any ammunition to not even have to repair those things throughout their life, I'd love for them to have it. So I hope that that song is a roadmap for them a little bit.
Amazing. I think it'll be, if it's played on the rock boat, I think it'll be amazing for them to be able to witness that. That'll just,
yeah,
you know, because it's a whole different, you know, this, it's a whole different world there, right? And
yeah,
the community and the love for music, they're gonna see the truest form of music lovers surrounded by music artists themselves, and I think it'll propel, you know, their already amazing love for you and your music. That's just me.
Now they've been on the boat before, right?
Sorry, say that again.
Have they both been on the boat before?
Yeah. They have, and that's what I was going to say. You know, one of my favorite things about bringing them on there is they're, you know, they really do get to witness the familial and sort of community that that boat really is. And it almost sounds cliched, and you can make this big deal of it. It sounds like you're full of shit, but you know, it's not. I mean, you know, yeah. I watch those folks that pay their money to come see these bands, and they support these bands, not just on the boat, but all over the world when we're out touring, and they care. I mean, they, you know, you get people that ask about your wife and your kids. They're not just there because you had a song on the radio one time. So the kids really ate that up. If I was going to say it was their favorite part of the boat, but that the free ice cream was their favorite part of the boat. Yeah. We're just being honest, come on.
Yeah. Tough to beat.
Yeah. So, I mean, free ice cream is the first place, but the community part of it is definitely as close a second as they can get at this point.
I'm always a huge fan of albums and vinyl and vinyl covers and photos and the graphic designs that go into, you know, because there's a lot of thought process that goes into an album and the artwork with it and the sneakers that are on the cover. Where can you walk us through that, like, and how that came to be?
Yeah, it's just a photo of my youngest had left his shoes in the yard. I mean, the whole album cover, the back cover, I mean, is literally these windows right over my left shoulder. It was just because this is where I write and kind of do everything. And so, again, trying to get as close to the point of creation as possible, I just wanted that view to be a part of the record. So that was shot. And as I was shooting that picture, I left it. My youngest had left his Chuck Taylors in the front yard. And I walked out to pick him up. And the light was good. And so I just sat and shot a picture of it. And that was kind of before I had even thought about that, because that had happened before. And then I was like, man, this is kind of a cool cover. And again, trying to sort of do most of this myself, I sent it over to management, sort of half expecting someone to go like, this is not a good idea. And they're like, yeah, it looks great. And I was like, okay. So... yeah, but I love that it felt, I mean, to me, I remember that feeling of, you know, you're taking off your shoes to just play in the front yard or whatever. And I don't know, there's something about the Chuck Taylors are very rock and roll shoes. They're also incredibly soft and fragile. And there was something about that I liked metaphorically too, I think.
Awesome.
Classic.
I know you're on you have a couple weeks off and then you're back out on tour. And can we talk about the new toys that you got? I saw the photo and I like hearing, I would like to know, like, what's your first memory of the first piece of music equipment you ever got?
First piece of music equipment I ever got. I mean, I bought an electric guitar from a friend of mine's dad. I still have it, but it's not a great guitar, but it was the first one. So, I mean, there's a real soft spot for me for that. But then I also, I didn't buy an amp. So I just sat for months with an electric guitar on the edge of my bed upstairs playing. And it was like, man, this is something. But
you really got to wail on it to hear it.
I mean, you really got to work pretty hard to play on a shitty electric guitar.
The amp.
It's a wonder that I
did
stuck
boat.
With this at all. I mean, and so, I mean, one of the first pieces of gear, if you don't take the guitar into the equation, there was a place called Shuff Music in Franklin where I grew up when I was, you know, a teenager. And I went down there and I bought the cheapest guitar amp that I could buy, which was, well, it was the only guitar amp I could buy. It happened to be the cheapest one that they sold. It was called a Gorilla. It probably had one little 10-inch speaker in it. It's a piece of junk. but I mean, I played it for hours and hours and hours. And it was there was something really unique and special about that. Because it's the first time that you're like, oh, this, you start to at least hear flashes of what you think music could sound like. And looking back, it was probably 99% garbage. Maybe even higher, but you know, you get those little moments. So that there was a special thing of like, I have an amp.
How old were you when you started writing?
I mean, I started writing pretty much right after. So I was 16 or 17 years old.
Nice.
Yeah, because I liked playing, but I didn't. I mean, and, you know, you have to play other people's music to sort of learn. But I also realized pretty quick I wasn't going to be great at playing other people's music. Some for lack of patience. And so I just started writing songs. Yeah, pretty quickly after that. Again, 99%+ of them were not very good. But you catch the little nugget in each one that you're like. I describe it like golf a little bit. You know, you go out and you play 18 holes of just shit golf, but you hit one shot in 18 out of 120 shots. You hit one that you're like, I'll play again tomorrow. If
keeps
you want
you coming
to.
Back. I say that
yeah,
all the time.
It's the same thing. I mean, there's a part when, especially really early on, because you have nothing to compare it to. So the first time you write anything that's even half decent, you're like, oh fuck, this is incredible. You know, and as you grow, you know, that gets, it's harder to wow yourself, but then there are still little moments that you go, like, oh, fuck, that is pretty good. I'll do this again tomorrow. Yeah.
I could see it now on the Rock Boat, Ampless Sessions with Will Hoog.
Yeah, just sitting there in my room. You can come in one at a time and watch me.
Will's having a cabin show.
Yeah. I always look so forward to his storytelling, man. Like, you, even when you're not playing, I'm like, at the edge of my seat, kind of like listening because it's so well done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I mean, that's a part of this whole thing too. You know, you gotta, if you're working this hard and traveling and doing all the shit that we have to do and you're not getting good stories out of it, wasting your time. You're not making near enough money to have bad stories.
Will, we want to thank you for your time. And I know that people can, pre-order still at willhoag.com, and I would encourage folks to go out and get tickets to see you in the upcoming weeks and months. And I know it's going to be amazing when you're on the boat, but super excited for your new album, Tenderhearted Boys. Thank you so much for finding time to chat with us, man.
Man, thank you all for always just supporting what all of the artists that are involved in the boat do. And it really does mean a lot to all of us. So thank you. I appreciate the kind words.
And I can't wait to see what kind of merch you bring on the boat. Oh, I need always. A new shirt. I need a new shirt.
There will be new. There will be. We're talking about some Rock Boat exclusive merch. So it should should be a good time for everybody. Yeah. Awesome. And there, to spoil it, I think there will be a new record for the boat also too. So.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Teaser.
Teaser, yeah, full band record that's gonna come out. I think we'll probably do pre-sale on the boat is the thought.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, so, all right.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Awesome.
There'll
Thanks,
be a lot
Will.
Of excited people to hear that.
Well, good man. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's good talking to y'all.
Heck yeah!
Can't wait to see you on the boat.
All right, see y'all.
Take care.
Thank you.